Before I met you, I worked constantly. There were always lesson plans to write, paperwork to fill out, and meetings to prep. And after I caught up on my work, I did chores around the house, carried out errands, and did research for books or papers. I never made time to live until you invited me on that first hike. At that time, we had gone out a few times and I found myself liking you. A lot. I wasn't sure where our relationship would go, and going on a hike together felt like we're moving from casual to something more. But I took that chance with you and never regretted it. I had bought outdoor clothing for the hike with new boots, jacket, but you came wearing jeans and a sweater. There was a convenience store that offered picnic lunches for hikers, and I suggested we buy a couple. But you said...
The forest will provide.
I didn't know if you were joking or being pretentious. We followed the path for a mile, and you took my hand and ushered me to follow you into the thicket off the trail.
Come this way. You won't see the forest from the trail.
I didn't understand what you meant. I thought, I can see the forest. We're in the forest. We're hiking. The trees are right there. As you led me further from the trail, doubts and fears filled my head. My thoughts went from you trying to impress me to you were luring me somewhere isolated to murder me. Several times, I almost pulled away to go back. But I followed you. Then I noticed the only sounds I could hear were my own footsteps. Wherever you stepped, you made no noise. No crunch of dirt, whisper of grass, nor crack of a snapped twig. And as tall and buff as you were, you should have made more noise than me. But your movements were barely a whisper. Then you stopped, and with a finger across your lips, you pointed at the ground near a log. I couldn't see it at first. It was so well hidden. You knelt and motioned for me to do so, too. Then you slowly uncovered a nest of baby rabbits tucked away within a small hole. Oh, I asked, where's the mother?
She stays away to keep the predators from them, but she comes back to nurse them.
At the sound of our voices, the little rabbits stirred awake. They were large enough to walk or hop on their own, but young enough not to know to fear us. I stretched on my stomach and watched them closely. Tiny noses sniffed the air, like confused as to why their mother wasn't here to nurse them. Several nuzzled my hand, hopeful for milk. I was entranced with them, lost in the moment of connecting with something wild and pure.
Go to sleep, little ones. Your mother will return soon with milk.
And just like that, all six returned into their nest and cuddled into a tight ball. You covered them with the grass and leaves and assured me they would be safe until their mother returned.
The predators will stay away from the nest until the little ones are old enough to care for themselves.
Because of our scent?
You could say that.
You showed me the forest in a way I never saw it before. It wasn't just a place with animals and trees, but a system that thrived and breathed. We watched a squirrel dig for nuts until, feeling sorry for its fruitless efforts, we collected a handful of nuts and left it at the foot of its tree. You found wild berries and we ate them together. The sweetness burst in my mouth so juicy it dribbled down my chin. I wasn't embarrassed because you looked more ridiculous with the juices clinging to your beard. Then we saw a doe with twin fawns. The doe gazed at us with somber black eyes, but one of the fawns was curious, drawing close enough for me to touch its wet black nose. Oh! When we returned to the car, I felt like a child from a fantasy novel returning home after a grand adventure. I held your hand on the drive home, not wanting the day to end. And I thanked you for taking me on a wonderful hike.
You're welcome. You needed something to ease the pain in your soul.
I didn't understand what you were talking about. I assumed you meant I was burned out from working too hard, but in reality, it was deeper than that. I'd been unhappy for a long time and never realized it. Not until after that wonderful day when anger, fear, and pain had left me for a while. That day was when I started falling in love with you. You taught me to see the world around me, to find pleasure in the small things, whether it's meeting baby rabbits or a good cup of coffee. Losing you is like living without a crucial organ, a machine functioning without a central cog wheel. My life doesn't work without you. David, I know you would not like me lying to this helpful young man, but if you wanted me to not do such things, then you never should have left.
I think they moved the harp into the back room here.
I know the play is called Heartstrings, but what is it about?
You didn't read the plot summary on the pamphlet?
I couldn't see past the picture of my husband's stolen harp.
Oh. Well, it's about a girl who wants to make a career of playing the harp. But her family wants her to get married to some nobleman, but she falls in love with his valet instead. Okay, there it is.
And the poor thing was sitting in a lonely, dark room. You always kept it in a glass case and talked about it as if it were an old friend. You would have hated seeing it here. I picked it up like it was a lost child. The wood felt smooth and cool. No smudges, no fingerprints. Nothing was allowed to blemish its beauty. Not even my touch. I plucked a string. Then my fingers trailed along the strings. I remembered your hands on mine, guiding me through the notes and harmonies as we played the harp together.
The harp knows you now. It will sing for you.
I heard your voice as if you were with me now. I remembered the scratch of your beard when you kissed me, the warmth of your hands, and the sweetness of your presence. And the heartbreak of your departure. Beloved, if you want your harp back, then come home. Come back to me.
God, I'm sorry. I'm not usually... That was beautiful.
It's all right. Got to me too.
You're a talented player.
Yeah. My husband taught me.
Hey, who's back there? Tina, do you know who's back there?
No.
Oh, it's just me and Mrs. Wells, Margo.
Shit.
What's wrong?
Liam, what the fuck are you doing here with her?
I was showing her where you put her harp.
Her harp? Oh, I see. Nice try, Wells. You want to walk your happy ass out of here, or should I call the cops?
Wait, what's going on?
The harp belongs to my husband.
We already had this conversation with Director Abram. Until you show proof this harp belongs to you, then it belongs to C&T Company. Unless you want to be walked out of here in handcuffs, then I suggest you get the fuck out of here.
I'm not leaving without...
Tina, call the police.
Fine. But this isn't over.
And Liam?
Yeah, Margo?
You're fired.
What?
Don't bother coming in for your last paycheck. We'll mail it to you.
Wait, Margo, I swear, I thought you worked things out with her yesterday. She said you gave her the go-ahead to take the harp.
Just go, Liam. I've got a lot of work, and I'm down a worker because of your bullshit.
Liam, hey, wait. Did that lady play the harp?
Yeah, she played it. Look, I'm sorry, Tina. I can't chat. I got to go before Warlord Margot rallies her soldiers for bloodshed.
The last thing I fucking need is someone stealing this damn harp. Tina, put a lock on the door and spread word that Liam no longer works here. I've got to go tell the director.
You won't sing for me? Please, sing for me. I know you have a beautiful voice.
Hey, hey, you lied to me. You got me fired.
It's not my fault you have a bitch for a boss.
You're crying?
So what if I am?
I'm the one that should be crying. You got me fired.
I regret that. But that harp belongs to my husband.
Not according to Margot.
Fuck her! And fuck that greasy director and the whole theater too!
Wait, whoa. Whoa, okay. Okay, why don't we just calm down?
I am sorry about your job. But I'm not lying about the harp.
All right. All right, well, if it belongs to your husband, then why isn't he here to back you up?
He's not around.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he died.
No, he's not dead. He just couldn't be here.
Okay, but look, we're both upset. Maybe you and I should just go sit somewhere. Let's talk.
Okay. It was a moment of weakness, but I realized I could use an ally. Of course, I wouldn't tell him everything, just enough to get him on my side. He knew the theater, so perhaps he knew another way in. I know you wouldn't approve, but one way or another, I'm getting your harp back. And if I have to use this kid to do it, then so be it.
Yep. River Wells is here. I'm keeping an eye on everything. Yeah. Yeah, I know my role. Don't worry, sis. Oh, gotta go. Hi, I hate to bother you, but I was wondering if you could tell me where I can find the ham and bacon shop?
Oh, yeah, it's 2 blocks over. Just go down the street here and take a left past the barbershop.
Thanks. I'm starving. Margot kept us working so hard today that I didn't take a lunch break. Is she on her period or did someone shoot her dog?
Nah, that's just how she is. We call her Warlord Margot. And she probably eats dogs when she's on her period. are you with a CNT troupe? One of the actors?
Yeah, but not as an actor. I just run errands, clean up, and assist. Are you interested in theater?
Not really. I'm more into traveling. I'm driving cross-country this summer.
Really? Where are you going?
Definitely to the beach. Maybe Florida?
The Florida beaches are beautiful.
You've been to Florida?
Yeah. And I've also been to New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Do you want to talk about traveling over dinner tonight? My treat. I can give you some travel advice.
Sure. I hope you don't mind, but I'll have a lot of questions.
Then maybe we could go out for drinks later. In case we don't cover everything over dinner. Sorry. Am I being too fast?
Hey, it's all right. Why don't we have dinner and see what happens?
Sure. Lead the way.
Liam doesn't know it, but he's a caretaker, a protector. Anyone would have been furious with me, but not him. He was still angry with me. My lies had cost him his job, but he wouldn't let anger control him. I could learn from him about controlling my anger.
Okay, I wish I could help you, but Warlord Margo isn't kidding about calling the cops. I've seen her do it to teenagers, just hanging out in the parking lot. You know, I think it makes her happy to see someone get arrested.
Then I need to look at their records and see how they got the harp.
Okay, well, the C&T trooper from Minneapolis, I bet their records are there. And you're sure it's the right one?
It is his harp.
Okay, then why don't you call the police?
I can't.
Why not?
I just can't.
Okay, then our hands are tied.
He said ours. He already considers himself my ally.
So what are you going to do?
The troop director could find out if he made the call. Or it doesn't have to be him.
What do you mean?
Let me make a phone call.
What are you doing?
Shh, just be quiet. Hi, my name is Margot. I have a question.
Oh, dear Lord, please, no.
Yeah, there has been a question of ownership over the harp. The one for heartstrings. Yes, that's right. At the Carnival Theater.
Margot is going to freak out if she hears about this.
Right, I know it was an anonymous donation, but there's concerns it's stolen property. It'll be a real problem for the theater if that's true. Sure, I'll wait. Whatever you can find out will be helpful.
You make a terrible Margot. You're way too nice.
If you don't feel comfortable, feel free to leave.
No way. It's like watching a car crash. I can't look away.
Yes. You found out where it came from? Great. Where? I see. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Well, what did they say?
Liam, I thank you for helping me, and I apologize again for getting you fired. I'll send you some money later.
No, now wait a minute. You cannot just leave.
Yes, I can.
What are you going to do?
It doesn't concern you.
The hell it doesn't.
Liam, leave it alone.
Now, wait a minute. I know you're not leaving without the harp.
Liam?
You're going after it, aren't you? You're going to steal it from the theater.
I appreciate your help today, and I will send you money soon.
Hey, wait! Damn it!
If you make it to New York, you should see at least one Broadway show. It's a rule.
Really? I thought going to the Statue of Liberty would be a must-see for a tourist.
Yeah, she's okay, but it's one and done with her. The magic of Broadway is real.
Okay. Do you think you'll be there too? To show me around?
Maybe. I'll have to check my schedule, but I think I might swing by there when you're in the neighborhood.
I would like that. A lot. I don't know what it is about you. I haven't known you for a day, and I'm, am I moving too fast?
Of course not. I like you too, Lori. But we need to cut our night short. You have to go.
I have to leave?
Yeah, you have a shift at the coffee shop tomorrow. Remember?
Yeah, I do. Wait, when did I mention that?
You don't remember? You told me you did when I offered to order another round.
Oh, right! I did tell you that!
And be sure to check in on Liam, too.
Liam? Did I mention him, too?
Yeah, you did.
He's a great guy, but I think he takes on too much.
He's a hero without a story. But the story will claim him soon.
Is that a quote from a play?
You should go, Lori. It's getting late.
Night.
Asshole incoming in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, little lady.
Hello.
Tell me something. Are all the girls from the theater dykes?
How original, Barry. You must have Lori's boot crushing your balls when you called her a dyke last month.
What?
Why else would you wait until she's gone to harass me?
Wait, that fucking dyke's been talking shit about me?
She doesn't have to. I know your kind. You hate women because most of them aren't willing to hop on your dick. Well, except you do love your mother. Once a week, you do her yard work and keep her car in shape so she doesn't take it to Greg's auto shop. You don't like him because he has everything you always wanted. Business, a wife and kids, and the town's respect.
Who the fuck are you?
You knowing my name won't make me happy. But punishing you will. You're going to kill your mother. You'll look into her eyes and see the pain, fear, and betrayal in them as you choke the life out of her. She'll die knowing her own beloved son killed her. You'll spend the rest of your life with her dying eyes in your mind.
Please, God, no. Please don't do this. Don't make me.
No, no. I can't have you do that. A second murder will distract Scott and Fox. Can't have that. Buy a bottle of your favorite whiskey. Drink half of it, and slosh the rest of it inside your truck. Send a goodbye text to your mother and drive off a cliff. Your mother will be sad, but the town will look after her. She'll live for another 10 years before passing away in her sleep, if that's any comfort to you. Well, go on. Do as I say.
You've been listening to Episode 3 of River's Journey, written by Cambry Varner, produced by Chris Honeywell and Nicole Tomte. Sound design and music provided by Chris Honeywell. Additional music provided from Pixabay. Performed by the Akadakaganagon Theater Works. Nicole Tomte was River Wells. David Ellis was David Wells. John Wilson was Liam. Claire Void was Margot. Kira Hendricks was Tina. The Wizard Mocha was Lori. Femi London was Amanda. Charlie Niemeyer was Barry. Spread the word. You can contact us at htwinformation@gmail.com and join the conversation in the ATW Discord. You can find the invite at twotruefreaks.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.